Radio Daily for Halfway Day.
That's right.
We're doing an almost entire half week, because we still have to get through past noon and stuff, of a full week in January. I don't know why I'm stuck on this. I don't know why, but it's weird that we're in the new year but haven't had a complete... Never mind. Hi, it's the 9th of January, and I'm going to stop babbling. It's something that happens when you're listening to the fine folks at GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that finally decided to be true to his nature, that is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
I can't keep this up. It's not in my nature to care about others.
It's just not true. You just like to take care of yourself first. Hey there, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Comic books are my life. And stuff based on comic books as well.
What happened on this fine, fantastical day, sir?
Well, in 1793, Frenchman Jean-Pierre Blanchard undertakes the first manned balloon flight in the U.S., traveling between Philadelphia and Woodbury, New Jersey.
1839, Scottish astronomer Thomas Henderson measures the distance to a star other than the sun for the first time. He went with Alpha Centauri.
It's a hell of a tape measure. In 1894, New England Telephone and Telegraph installs the first battery-operated telephone switchboard in Lexington, Massachusetts. Man, Mabel must have had like a crap ton of quarters.
1839, astronomer Dominique François Argaud announces the development of the daguerreotype photography process, which uses iodine fumes to sensitize a silver plate, mercury vapors to bring out the image, and common salt to fix the image, and that became meth.
And the first versions of Photoshop. In 1894, the Edison Manufacturing Company releases the short black and white silent documentary film, Edison Kinetoscope, Record of a Sneeze.
Yeah!
Shot by William K. L. Dickerson to movie theaters. In the 5-second film, one of Thomas Edison's assistants, Fred Ott, takes a pinch of snuff and sneezes. So the next time you complain about everything being in Hollywood being a remake, remember, they don't remake everything.
Well, now you've thrown down the gauntlet. 1909,
the silver for Marvel's The Sneezer.
The Silver Dart makes the first manned flight in Canada. The flight was funded by the Aerial Experiment Association, founded by Alexander and Mabel Bell.
So many quarters. In 1941, the CBS television network gives a demonstration of color television. I'm sure freaking out a lot of people and making them push over their televisions, blaming it on witchcraft.
I have a black and white set. How is this possible? 1968, the Surveyor 7 space probe, the last of the American unmanned lunar exploration missions, makes a landing on the moon, returning pictures.
To the moon? Hey, we finally got your one-hour photo. 1969, the supersonic Concorde passenger jetliner embarks on its first test flight from Bristol, England.
1983, the last day of the world's first video game championship in Ottumwa, Iowa, held by Twin Galaxies. Who else? Walter Day and gang. They recorded all the game scores. They knew, so that's what they did. And they had the world's first video game-themed parade. 4 horses, a silver Shriner motorcycle, a kid wearing a cardboard Pac-Man cutout over his head, flag-bearing contestants for upcoming game championships, and a torchbearer. The competition will be won by Ben Gold at age 16, who scored 40,1,150 points on a Stargate over the course of 35 hours and 50 minutes.
Wow.
And that, of course, became the Dragon Con Parade.
In 1990, the space shuttle Columbia is launched on a mission to retrieve the Long Duration Exposure Facility, or LDEF, an unmanned satellite roughly the size of a school bus.
2001, the unmanned Chinese spacecraft Shenzhou 2 is launched. The ship carries a dog, a monkey, and a rabbit trying to live together, and its mission is to test the spacecraft's life support systems. Oops, lost the rabbit. Oh my God, I think someone's pregnant.
You know, I think the thing is like when they came back, if they'd been hit by any gamma radiation, I think NASA was really hoping to boost their economic sales by making some movies in the future. Yeah. Nice. 2007, Apple CEO Steve Jobs introduces the original internet information the iPhone at a Macworld keynote in San Francisco.
2009, Microsoft Corporation releases the beta version of Windows 7 to 2.5 million users. The update was 10 seconds later.
Those people didn't originally want to install it, but the damn thing kept telling them you need to install.
Birthdays?
Ashley Argata, 26 years old, from True Jackson VP, Bucket and Skinner's Epic Adventures, Lab Rats, and The Fosters.
Rawson Stovall is 47. The Vid Kid, at age 11, was the first nationally syndicated video game reviewer. He keeps saying, God, will you talk about the books I've written and move on past this? And I'm saying, I miss you.
Joey Lauren Adams, 51 years old, from Dazed and Confused, Mallrats, Biodome, Chasing Amy, Stripperella, Switched at Birth, and of course, took Bud Bundy's virginity.
Oh my gosh, right? Jolie Richardson is 54 from Event Horizon, Nip Tuck, The Tudors, the American version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
J.K. Simmons, 64 years old, from The Ref, J. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man, Law & Order, Portal 2, Gravity Falls, Gordon in DC, movie universe, at least one of them. We're hoping he keeps coming back. He's a hell of a voice actor. He is the voice of the yellow M&M, as well as appearing in Korra the Last Airbender, and he's constantly looking for pictures of Spider-Man.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1859, Carrie Chapman Catt, an American activist, founded the League of Women Voters, an international alliance of women. They were superheroes.
I believe she was the greatest American heroine. 1870, Joseph Strauss, American engineer, co-designed the Golden Gate Bridge.
1901, Chick Young, the creator of Blondie and huge sandwiches.
Whenever somebody asked to see if they could contact him, he had a very particular song that he would sing all about calling me. 1902, Jose Marie Escrivá, Spanish priest and saint, founded Opus Dei.
1925, Lee Van Cleef from High Noon, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, for a few dollars more, and of course, was a ninja.
Of course he was. 1935, Bob Denver, The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, Back to the Beach, but of course, we all know him as Gilligan.
From what? In 1939, Susanna York, Laura, in the Superman franchise. The real one, the only one that counts.
You know, Bob Denver from Green Acres.
Yep.
On CBS, we've got... I should have gone with Lost. That would have been funnier. Anyway, on CBS, we've got a rerun of Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon, new SEAL Team, no relation to Big Bang Theory, nope, and Criminal Minds.
ABC, it's new Goldbergs, American Housewife, Modern Family, Single Parents, and Match Game.
NBC has The Chi Tribe.
Yes!
You got your mids, you got your fires, and you've got your pids.
On Fox, Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back, in which a family must fire their father or close their restaurant, and The Masked Singer.
You know, feel good. CW has Birds against some sort of large jungle cat in college basketball.
Freeform, it's a new Grownish.
AMC has Roadhouse. It's not a good movie. It's an awesome one.
Damn right. CMT is showing The Stepford Wives. Oh, but it's the 2004 version. I'm sorry, Frank Oz. You're better than that.
True. FX has The Wolf of Wall Street with a lot of things cut out.
Yep. FXX, Jimmy and Gretchen tell the story of their love to a prospective wedding planner on a new episode of You're the Worst. And then Jason Bourne.
We didn't put any punctuation between it, so I was hoping there was a new TV show called You're the Worst, Jason Bourne.
You're the
Whether
worst.
There's a comma there or not, it would be a fantastic show. IFC has Zero Dark 30, speaking of Jason Bourne.
BBC America has Austin Powers, baby.
Yeah, baby. Paramount has Creed.
Sci-Fi Channel's showing The Thing, but damn it, it's the new one.
TNT has Oceans 12, 11, and 13, the only order you should watch them in.
Get the worst one out of the way right away. Science Channel, Dynamite Air Freshener on a new Mythbusters Junior. But we're watching the Hallmark Channel, because when a fitness instructor gets engaged to her photographer boyfriend, their wedding plan creates a series of complications that ultimately jeopardize their ability to make it to the altar before the entire ceremony is ruined. Pascal Hutton, Kevon J. Smith star in The Perfect Bride. Wedding bells.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update. Chad delivers stunning news to Ben. The only help you getting from me is the advice to hire a lawyer. By the way, Ted is busy. JJ blasts Gabby for her lies. He doesn't remember which one he's the most mad about, but he is gonna make her take a sit and spin class. Sierra gets Claire to confess her and Ben's deception, which can be used against Ben now that he needs a lawyer. Ted's still busy. Leo meets Xander for the first time, and they make all the little googly eyes and plan to team up as Salem's Legion of Doom! Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
Hey guys. Because it was David Bowie's birthday yesterday, I thought I'd share one of my favorite quotes by him. It pretty much sums up this icon. I wouldn't hate to hear a dramatic reading from the great PRS of this quote.
You would think that a rock star being married to a supermodel would be one of the greatest things in the world. It is.
I have nothing more exciting to say. I just wanted to share some Bowie wisdom and wish you guys a happy new year. That's from Mark. Happy new year. Oh, wait, P.S., how can I find out how to get on the online game session you talk about on the Switch? Is it some kind of closed group or something? Until I'm able to lose a smash match with the wonderful Billy Flynn, make mine GRD. Well, Mark, no, it's not really a group thing. We just like, you know, there's the friend code. So anyone who has a Nintendo Switch, I am playing. Join me, 4621-8841-4224. I know you weren't ready, so here it is again. 4621-8841-4224. And yeah, you see me? Let's play some Smash. It's got a whole bunch of us. It's fantastic. It's awesome.
I'm also going to edit that onto his profile page.
Oh, wow. If you don't see it tomorrow, you know exactly who it is you need to write a message to. And that would be podcast@geekradiodaily.com. So we could all yell at him together. Or you can just shame him in your best stern voice that doesn't get him too happy simply by dialing the magic voice number of
510-GRD-CROW.
Nintendo Switch friend code?
The Ideas Start Here podcast is a science-based, informative, entertaining view on immunizations and general health-related topics. Featuring me, your host, Jack Mankin. Subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Or listen directly on your phone, computer, or any other device from the website www.stchealth.com.
Looks like you got the flu. Looks like you just got the flu.
The Ideas Start Here podcast.
Hi, this is Jeff Combs, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
You know, it's been a while since we've had a really good science podcast to get down with. I'm not leaving out Geologics. I'm not. You know what I mean. Don't mess with me, George. I'm talking about someone else right now.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Indeed, lots of stuff's out. What's available at the comic shop, sir?
From Detective Comics, we have Adventures of the Super Sons, number 6, Suicide Squad Black Files, number 3 of 6, United States versus Murder Incorporated, 5 of 6. But when the Nightmare Dimension, which is far scarier than the National Dimension, known as Gemworld, invades Metropolis. Superboy, Wonder Girl, Robin, Impulse, Amethyst, and introducing Teen Lantern and Jenny Hex reunite to deal with the situation, but they're shocked to discover the battle may be the key to the return of Connor Kent, a.k.a. Superboy, in Young Justice, number 1.
Teen Lantern. Marvel has Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number 1, Star Wars Age of Republic Jango Fett number 1, Web of Venom Unleashed number 1, and as Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, has spent months in space protecting Earth from alien threats big and small, but it's time for her to come home. She's coming to New York City, but every reentry comes with an unexpected bit of huh, and Carol's about to hit a whole bunch of the huh. It's a fresh start and an oversized, star-studded welcome home for a hero who's been punching the glass ceiling since the 1970s. Captain Marvel! Number 1, she's gonna make it after all.
God, I really want an Alenian Squiggy comic now. Boom Studios, Adventure Time Season 11, number 4. We've also got Saban's Go Go Power Rangers, number 16, and By Night, 7 of 12. From Dynamite Entertainment, we've got Barbarella, Deja Thoris, number 1. Hack Slash versus Chaos, number 2. Vampirella, also Deja Thoris, number 4, in case you didn't really care about 2 and 3. And a new hero arrives. Turok pursues his kidnapped brother in the Badlands of the Old West. In the waning days of the Indian Wars, the U.S. Cavalry has captured Andar, but Turok will stop at nothing to rescue him. But that quest will lead Turok, Andar, and even the soldiers to a strange lost land inhabited by creatures beyond their imaginations. Bet it's dinosaurs. This is Turok as you've never seen him before. Maybe it's not dinosaurs. And Turok as you've always seen him. All right, probably dinosaurs. In Turok.
Wait, who's in that? From Archie Comics, Archie meets Batman number 66, number 6, which means the devil's involved. Titan Comics, Bloodborne number 8, Healing Thirst. Doctor Who, the 13th Doctor number 2, and Life is Strange number 2. Over at IDW Publishing, Bubba Hotep and the Cosmic Bloodsuckers number 5. But then there's no more sci-fi catastrophes for Atomic Robo. This is now a quiet series about the charming antics and sitcom misunderstandings that happen at a boarding school for future action scientists. Also, Robo's hiding a secret AI son in the basement. Bye! Celebrating 10 years of Atomic Robo, it's the dawn of... Wait, says it right there in the title. Robo's a teacher and a dad. There you go! Atomic Robo and the dawn of a new era, number 1 of 5.
From Zenoscope, we've got Conspiracy 2 of 5. Or do we? Grim Fairy Tales, number 25. Van Helsing, Sword of Heaven, number 3. From Dark Horse, we've got Aliens, Dust to Dust, wrapping it up with 4 of 4. Predator Hunters 2, number 4. William Gibson's Alien 3, number 3. From American Mythology Productions, we've got Carson Napier and his Love Duare. believe that they have at last found a refuge from the dangers of Amtor in the peaceful city of Sonara, where Carson is the adopted son of the Zhang Karva, or Corva. I've heard it both ways. But when Carson and Duare's element-powered airplane is attacked by a flock of raging Angian bird warriors, if I had a nickel, they find themselves caught in the web of Varlek Sar, a power-hungry scientist from the technocratic dystopia of Havatu. Carson of Venus Flames Beyond, number one.
That needs to be a movie, like, quick. From Danger Zone, we got No Fairies, number one. Over at Aftershock Comics, Moth and Whisper, number five. Patience, Conviction, Revenge, number five, and I don't know what that means. From Image, Auntie Agatha's Home for Wayward Rabbits, 3 of 6. Hit Girl, number 12, and Kick-Ass, 11. But at Antarctic Press, O-Bomber takes on the Tangerine Titan in a presidential punch-out that'll leave one man standing if he's lucky. No pay-per-view, no limited seating, two possible outcomes, so no matter who you root for, you get to be a winner. It's a safe space. Can we make comics great again? Yes, we conda in Barack Panther versus Tremendous Trump, number one.
I'm not wearing any pants. Geek. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Geek News!
Take a look at the world. A geeky point of view. Now, we talked a ton last year about Netflix and more animated original series in the new year. They're still at it. Now they've announced that David Fincher and Deadpool director Tim Miller are set to team up on a new animated anthology series titled Love, Death, and Robots.
Can have one without the other two.
Consisting of 18 animated shorts made anywhere from 2D to photoreal CG, this will be aimed towards adults with stories that go across every genre, from sci-fi, comedy, fantasy, and horror. Characters will include sentient dairy products, werewolf soldiers, and robots gone wild.
Ooh, robots gone wild. I've accidentally rented that a few times.
Miller previously scored an Oscar nomination for his animated short, Gopher Broke. Miller and Fincher worked together on the opening credit sequence of the 2011 American Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Oh man, I really wanted that to be a series.
It looked awesome. Fincher will begin production on the World War Z sequel in June. Miller wrapped production of the Terminator reboot in November and is slated to helm Neuromancer's adaptation at Fox, which is perfect because if you stir those in a pot, you get love, death, and robots.
The only things that are guaranteed in life.
Right.
The Sopranos is celebrating its 20th anniversary this month, which means it is again time to talk The Many Saints of Newark.
Oh, you mean Steven Van Zandt's album inspired by his days on the show?
No, the prequel movie that creator David Chase announced last year, and he's ready to talk. And yeah, young Tony is a character.
Little Sopranos? Uh-oh, Soprano babies, they'll whack a mook or two.
Ah, look, it's a musical episode. The film will be set in 1967 and will focus on both the mafia, which was ascendant at the time, and racial tensions between Italian-Americans and African-Americans in the city. Race riots took place in the Newark area in 1967. The main character will be Dickie Moltisanti, the father of Soprano's character Christopher Moltisanti, and he'll be played by actor Alessandro Nivola. While a continuing theme of the series was that the mob was in decline by the late 90s and early 2000s, only about 200 of them, the movie will show organized crime during their heyday. The late 1960s time period was occasionally glimpsed in flashbacks on the show, going back to Tony Soprano's childhood in Newark's down neck area. Alan Taylor, who directed many episodes of The Sopranos, will direct the film while Chase will write it. Casting is in progress, with an eye being cast towards production this year, Deadline, of course, reports. The film will represent Chase's first new project of any kind since the 2012 film Not Fade Away, which itself was his only project since The Sopranos went off the air in 2007. This means we could finally get an answer to one of the biggest questions the show ever gave us.
Will there finally be ZD?
Close. How Tony learned the valuable lesson.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
When is a reboot not a reboot?
When it doesn't get made?
What if it is a remake for another market?
Ooh, like The Office.
Sorta, except it's 24, and it's gonna be set in Japan.
Ooh, a Jägerbauer. A Jägerbauer.
24 Japan, as it will be called, is set for release in 2020, will be a remake of season one, but adapted for his new setting.
Oh, so his daughter, his wife, his master, his student will all be taken?
TV Asahi is handling the remake, which will follow the same real-time format of the American series. He negotiated with 20th Century Fox for around 2 years, surprising the show's creators and actors with the desire to do a version in Japan in the 2020s. The cast is yet to be announced.
Hey, T, time to dust off that impression and learn Japanese.
When 24 was first subtitled in Japan on DVD, it had a cult following of folks rushing to video shops which I know is hard for you to understand in this day and age. And speaking of impressions made, Japanese comedian Manabu Kishi even made a name for himself doing a Japanese language impersonation of Jack Bauer.
So wait, is this going to be a comedy?
No. They say it's a serious drama, but all we're going to be thinking of is Manabu's over-the-top Bauerisms that he would do and dreaming of the comedy version in which Jackie Chan gets to play their version of Ramon Salazar.
Ooh, nice. Hey, parents. Do you get frustrated with your tech-savvy kids who do the same things you did as a kid, but with a device that lets them record it?
Ask me again in like 8 years.
I've been fortunate to have squashed their creativity early and make them only crave my approval. But if you are struggling, a frustrated dad is something that could help. The app Reply ASAP makes text messages unmissable between people that matter, since important messages shouldn't be missed, says Nick Herbert, who created the app, which can freeze your child's phone and even sound an alarm in silent mode. It essentially forces teenagers to stop what they are doing and reply to their worried parents. The basic app is free, although for a few extra bucks, you can unlock more functionality, like the Dennis Nedry screen, but with a pic of dad in a towel saying, "I love you, poopsie," over and over again.
Here's a headline you don't hear often. Jesus Christ is making his triumphant return.
Well, yeah, I saw the guy carrying the sign downtown.
His return to comics for a new series released through DC's Vertigo Comics imprint and a new title called Second Coming. From writer Mark Russell and artist Richard Pace, the comic will tell a new fictional tale centered around Christ in which the religious figure returns to Earth rooming with a Superman stand-in created for the story named Sun Man. And certainly no one will be offended.
Even when we learn his middle name is Hector?
DC Comics has proven time and again, if anyone's going to tackle a religious figure like Jesus Christ, they're the ones to do it. Anyone can write Jesus as much as they want. Public domain, baby. Think about it. And no one has earned it as much as DC has.
I thought selling your soul for a hit movie was Satan's gig. Just ask Christian Bale.
At DC, Jerry Siegel, Joe Shuster popularized and arguably created the superhero with the son of Krypton, Kal-El, Superman. Inspired by Siegel and Shuster's own Judeo-Christian philosophies, Superman is a bit like a basic level Jesus Christ. I will not bore you connecting all of the imagery for the examples. You can just watch Man of Steel for that. Even in its less personal and grounded stories, DC handles complex religious themes that people like Marvel don't normally touch. The anti-life equation, the weapon only Mr. Miracle can understand without being driven mad, is an analog for being so grounded, in fact, that it erases all hope for the inconceivable and what can one accomplish with a little device called dreams. Sorry, I didn't mean to get all real there. DC is criticized for dealing with invincible characters, so why not tackle the most invincible literary figure ever? Jesus Christ, though human, is a perfect embodiment of God. He erased original sin. He opened the gates to heaven. He can do no wrong.
But is that really going to make for an interesting and relatable story?
Well, I think so. But if you don't, that'll just have to be your cross to bear. GRD is...
I'm worried about that last joke, but personally, I think you nailed it.
The Creative Commons
is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States License. Come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hit us up on our website at geekradiodaily.com.
Ooh, there it is.
You finished it up.
Okay, there's a voicemail you can dial. It's
510-GRD-CRAFT.
Hey, how did the editing go on that Cinemistress episode?
I started it.
All right, so coming soon. Ooh, it's like a mini-series, except way less interesting.
Well, that went well.
You are all weirdos.
That was lame.
Welcome to Nerd School. Nerd.
Good night, suckers.
No more of your long stories, all right?
Yeah, people aren't used to boring podcasts.
So you're saying a person is a virgin until they've had intercourse with a member of the opposite sex?
Isn't that the standard definition?
Again, with your standards. I think virginity is lost when you make love for the first time.
With a member of the opposite sex?
Why? Why only then?
Because that's the standard. Let me tell you.
So if a virgin is raped, then she's still a virgin?
No, of course not.
But rape is not the standard, so she's had sex, but not the standard idea of sex. Hence, according to your definition, she'd still be a virgin.
Okay, fine. I'll revise. Uh-huh. Virginity is lost when the hymen is broken.
Well, then I lost my virginity at 10.
Really?
Because, see, I fell on a fence post when I was 10, and it broke my hymen.
Okay. Second revision. Virginity is lost through penetration.
Physical penetration or emotional?
Emotional penetration.
Well, I fell in love hard with Caitlin Bree when we were in high school.
Physical penetration.
We had sex.
Yeah, but not real sex.
I moved to have that remark stricken from the record on account of it makes you come off as completely naive and infantile.